Welcome to Sharing the Victory, the weekly radio program from the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Your host for the next 30 minutes is University of Nebraska assistant football coach, Ron Brown. Today, Ron visits with Sam Houston State baseball coach, Mark Johnson.
Adversity just absolutely continues to reacquaint us with our strengths and weaknesses, and God is present to guide us through those things, and they're really rejoicing times if we can do it.
And Gary Kramer, FCA chaplain for the University of Alabama.
You can't try to get athletes to do the right things and be the right people without starting at the core, and that's the fact that a creator God has made them with a divine purpose.
Plus, professional golfer Mark Wilson discusses a decision he made on the course at a PGA tournament that demonstrated integrity and forgiveness.
You know, if we accept Jesus' forgiveness for our sins, we try to model ourselves after him, and it's like, you know, if you don't lead your life that way, then you're kind of a hypocrite. So I was happy that, you know, in that tough situation, I chose the high road.
It's time to get today's program underway. Here's Ron Brown.
We're going to have a great show today, and I'm glad you're listening. Our first guest is PGA golfer Mark Wilson. Mark won his second tournament of his career on the PGA Tour just a few weeks ago. Our own Sharing the Victory's Bill Bumpus recently talked with Mark, and we pick up the interview with Bill asking a question about Mark's first win on the tour back in 2007.
You know, FCA, one of the core values is integrity. Mm-hmm. And I know you had a situation where you had to call a penalty on yourself, really a two-stroke penalty. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird situation where in the rules of golf, you're not allowed to give advice to a fellow competitor, or caddies can't do that, fellow competitors. And on one par three, my caddy, I had hit, and then we heard the guys behind us talking, another player to his caddy going, "What was that?" Because I had to hit a hybrid, and he was kind of trying to figure out, you know, is that a 2-iron, 3-iron, what kind of club is that? And my caddy just kind of turned around and told him it was an 18-degree. And now at that point, I'm like, you know, was that advice really, in the sense of he didn't just say, "Hey, that was a 5-iron," something like that. So we called the rules official over, and I asked them, and they checked on it, and unfortunately, yes, that was considered advice just on us, because the guy that we were playing with was not asking us. He was just kind of talking amongst, you know, hit with his caddy, and so it was 2 strokes and to that score on that hole, and that was on Friday. And no one knew about it at all, because I, in my career, I've kind of gone below the radar, so to speak. And all of a sudden on Sunday night, when I tied for the lead and the playoff was going to go into Monday, the Golf Channel broke the news that had happened, and they made a big deal about it. And the next day, I went out and birdied the second playoff hole to win the tournament. You know, as I felt bad for my caddy, because he was in kind of a tough situation there, and he made a mistake, and he knew he did. Like I said, normally it just kind of goes unnoticed. But in this case, since I won, it went very noticed, and people gave him a hard time for it. And he even had a few hecklers the next few weeks. But I tried to spin it positively and, you know, look at it as, hey, he does so much good for me on the bag. I forgave him for that error, and we moved on. And I looked at it as a positive and something to overcome. And it's my only win to date, so there was something to that.
Well, I tell you what, there is something about forgiveness, isn't there? I mean, in our lives with Christ, we're so thankful for the forgiveness that he gave us.
That's true.
So that's neat to see that on the course there.
That's right, yeah. If we accept Jesus' forgiveness for our sins, we try to model ourselves after him. And it's like, you know, if you don't lead your life that way, then you're kind of a hypocrite. So I was happy that, you know, in that tough situation, I chose the high road. And you know, looking back, I was like, wow, I'm glad I did forgive him, because it would have been very easy to fire him on the spot. And I think a lot of other guys might have done that. I might even have done that, you know, in a certain situation. But thankfully, I forgave him, and we moved on. And it was one of the highlights of my career, if not the highlight.
Well, we're visiting with Mark Wilson, PGA golfer, and going back to that win at the Honda Classic and that penalty and integrity in football and basketball and baseball. You've got officials all over the place, umpires, referees. It's a little different in golf. In golf, in some aspects, you're the referee. You're responsible for yourself. And let's talk a little bit about integrity and how important that is on the golf course and how important that is in your life as a Christian.
Yeah, very much so. And you learn it at an early age from my parents, as they taught me golf and how you follow the rules. And I grew up in Wisconsin, and the courses weren't in real good shape in the spring. And, and the clubs would always play winner rules, but I didn't really like to roll it in the fairway. I was like, ah, it feels like cheating. So, and I think maybe that, you know, helps me play out of divots maybe today better. I don't know. But my dad instilled that in me at an early age, and I got to know the rules. And early in my career, I'll be honest with you, I struggled with them quite a bit, where I almost got to the point where it distracted me too much. Like, I was always worried about my ball moving on the green or this or that. And did I make a mistake when I took that drop from the cart path? And so that was kind of a hurdle I had to overcome and not keep second-guessing myself, more living in the moment, making sure I did the right thing at that time and then move on. But, yeah, there's in golf, we you know, we have rules officials out there to help us, but you're really the only one that would see a ball move in the rough or on the green, like happened to Ryan Palmer at a recent tournament, and he called it on himself, and lo and behold, he actually won the tournament too. All the guys on tour do it from time to time, and it's a great model, obviously, the game of golf and, you know, towards life.
Well, Mark, as you were talking about those situations and about rules, you know, one thing that came to my mind was in our Christian life, and we have some folks that take it a little too far, mm-hmm. as far as our relationship with Christ, and you would call that legalism. And then, you know, on the other side, we have freedom in Christ. How does that play in your life as far as your relationship with the Lord, as far as the freedom that you have, but mm-hmm. also knowing that we still have to obey? I mean, there's still some guidelines for us in our life.
Yeah, he puts those in there in the Bible for us, and he says that if we do obey him, he's going to bless us. And I always keep that in mind. But I'm grateful that he's given us that free will. You know, I guess it really ended up being through, you know, Adam and Eve sinning that we all are sinners. And, you know, we've all got that free will to choose, and we can choose to follow him or we can choose to disobey him. And obviously we all sin every day of our lives, but we know it's wrong, and maybe that's the difference. And every day, you know, I pray that I'm going to choose to follow him and go about my life that way.
Well, Mark, thanks for modeling integrity for us on the golf course, and we'll continue to pray for you and cheer you on. And we appreciate you being here. Mark Wilson, PGA golfer. Thanks for being here.
I need all the prayers I can get. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Bill. We were able to video that interview, and you can see it at our website, sharingthevictoryradio.com. Next up, we're going to talk to a man who has dedicated his life to ministering to student athletes on the University of Alabama's campus. You're listening to FCA's national weekly radio program, Sharing the Victory.
Her goal?
To shoot par.
Our goal? To keep her on course. While she prepares for her shot, we prepare her for life. By helping her pursue honorable ambitions, she will stay on course. Join the Fellowship of Christian Athletes as we strive to put the heart and soul in sports by impacting the world for Jesus Christ. To learn more, contact us at FCA.org. That's FCA.org. When it comes to your sport, you can compete with
heart.
You can compete with
soul.
You can play
inside out.
FCA Camps, a time of inspiration and perspiration for athletes and coaches who want to reach their full potential. Call 866-269-2267. That's 866-269-2267, or go to fcacamps.org. That's fcacamps.org. Sharing the Victory is a ministry of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. More information about FCA is just a click away at fca.org. Now back to Ron Brown.
It's always an honor to have a field representative here on Sharing the Victory, and our segment on FCA Across America today highlights Gary Kramer, the sports chaplain from FCA for the University of Alabama, a variety of sports. Gary, welcome to Sharing the Victory.
Thanks, Ron. Great to be here today.
Yeah, you know, Gary, you have a heart for these athletes and these coaches involved in the sports world to advance the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how does that translate into that world at a highly competitive place like the University of Alabama?
Well, it all starts with a beginning point of knowing that the Creator God has made you, has His fingerprints all over you, mm-hmm. and has a divine purpose for your life. And so I believe that with a whole heart. And I believe that to stop anything short of revealing that to our athletes is to sell them short. Mm-hmm. And you can't try to get athletes to do the right things and be the right people without starting at the core. And that's the fact that a Creator God has made them with a divine purpose. And once they realize that, then it comes to the point where it just lights them up. As Glenn Coffey, our tailback from this past year, would say, I want the football because I don't want God to get cheated on his glory. I just think that's a great philosophy of life. And when student athletes catch that vision, when coaches catch that vision, it's not about a job. It's not about practice. It's not about lifting. Now it becomes a divine purpose that they're fulfilling in their daily routine.
We're talking to Gary Kramer, the Fellowship of Christian Athlete sports chaplain for the University of Alabama. You know, as I read the scripture, Gary, you see nothing but opposition. You know, when Jesus was born, we loved the little story, the baby in the manger. We fail to realize that Herod went out and started murdering all kind of baby boys to get the Jesus. I mean, when you bring Christ to the table, there's all kinds of opposition. The college campus today is the bastion of opposition to the message of Jesus Christ. And so when you got this opposing force coming at these athletes about, you know, there's not just one way, and, you know, John 14:6, you know, how that offends people. What do you do? How do you counteract that with the philosophies that are out there?
Yeah, well, number one, I think that syncretism is the great challenge of us on a college campus, to think that every way leads to God. Mm-hmm. And to just say, well, we're on the same road. And for our athletes and engaging them in that, yes, that is a great challenge. But the moniker of the dumb athlete, I don't know who came up with that. These mm-hmm. kids are asking great questions mm-hmm. and are asking heart issue questions. Recently, one of our linemen came up to me in the locker room. He says, Coach, how do you feel about me being your enemy? I said, man, I've never thought of you as my enemy. I said, what do you mean by that? He said, well, anything you tell the guys, I tell them just the opposite. He says, I'm an atheist, and I don't believe that stuff. Well, at that point, the challenge then becomes to build that relationship with that young man. I took him to dinner one night. We sat down. He wanted to talk about spiritual things. I said, man, I'm not here to talk about spiritual things. I just want to get to know you. And you love them where they are. And, of course, he got so frustrated, we ended up talking about spiritual things.
Amen.
And when it was all said and done, he hadn't come to Christ yet at this point, but it's about gaining an inch-by-inch foothold that the enemy's had on his life for a long time.
Yeah, and you know, Gary, when I think about it, the atheist sometimes is in a better place than the person who thinks they've got it all together and they just remain neutral their entire stinking life. How do you reach that athlete who's kind of sitting in the middle saying, yeah, I believe in God, I'll go to chapel mm-hmm. and I'll hopefully I can play a good game, but never digs in with Christ?
Yeah, I think C.S. Lewis said it best, Ron, when he said that even we as believers settle for making mud pies when God all the time has intended for us to have a weekend at the beach. And we think making mud pies is so great. And we're out here settling for cheap substitutes that the world brings our way versus settling the appetite, that voracious appetite that we have to be fulfilled in the only one who can fulfill it, God himself and his glory.
Our guest today with FCA Across America is Gary Kramer, the sports chaplain, FCA representative at the University of Alabama. Gary, thanks for being with us and sharing the victory.
Thanks, Ron. Appreciate what you do.
You know, Gary's doing some great work in Alabama, but you got to know that FCA is doing that type of work all over this country. More than likely, it's happening right in your community. Get on the web and go to FCA.org to find out what FCA is doing in your area. Lives are being changed, and FCA needs your help. I challenge you to volunteer, pray, and give. Again, you can find out more at FCA.org. Don't go anywhere, because I'll be talking to one of the winningest coaches in the history of college baseball. That's Mark Johnson, and he's up next on Sharing the Victory.
Serving.
Integrity.
Teamwork.
Excellence.
These are the core values of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Get an in-depth look at each value from select contributors such as Tony Dungy, John Wooden, Laura Wilkinson, John Kitna, Betsy King, and Les Steckel. The four-book set is available now at FCA.org. This book series will be an excellent resource for high school, college, and professional athletes and fans at all levels. The Core Values book series available at FCA.org. That's FCA.org. You love sports, and you love reading about sports, but your favorite sports publication seems to have become little more than a fantasy league report. Enter Sharing the Victory magazine. Published 9 times a year by the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, Sharing the Victory gives you in-depth articles on some of today's most popular Christian athletes and coaches, as well as stories of FCA's impact around the world. You'll also get STV's cutting-edge 2-page poster highlighting one of the magazine's featured athletes. Order your subscription today at sharingthevictory.com.
Hi, I'm Jerry Kendall, former major leaguer and college baseball coach, and you're listening to Sharing the Victory with Ron Brown.
It's great to have one of the baseball legends today in college baseball, Mark Johnson, the head baseball coach at Sam Houston State. Has been a number of places. And Coach Johnson, welcome to Sharing the Victory.
Thank you, Ron. I'm glad to be here.
Coach, you've won so many Coach of the Year awards. It would take the whole show just to name off the years. You obviously have had tremendous success in reaching these young men with a game of baseball. You know, one of the things that I think sometimes slides along, particularly as Christians, is we tend to think that being a Christian means that we're good sports and we're good guys and we don't swear and we got a lot of don'ts. But there is a do factor, and that is excellence. That is maximizing our God-given potential, Coach. And you as a Christian have been able to hit some standards that most coaches only dream about. And I know that you would be the first to want to give the glory to God. What do you think your secret was, if it was a secret?
Well, it's not a secret. At age 12, I went before the church with all my buddies and joined the church and professed our faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. But I didn't, at that time, I never accepted him as my Lord, only as my Savior. And then at age 21, when I was playing my first year of professional baseball, was going to get married in another month and a half, and then I was going to report to Fort Ord, California for basic training in the Army. A lot of things were coming down on me, but I rededicated my life to allow Christ to be the Lord of my life and not just my Savior, and let him into my life and be a guidance and direction. And he took over from there, Ron. He took a lot of things away from me that were not what I should be doing, and directed me and gave me a positive outlook. And more than anything, if I were going to press down on one thing, he gave me a peace that Paul talks about in Philippians that's beyond all human understanding. And I have that today, and I get through my life. I get through the losses. I get through the firings and the all the things that go on in coaches' lives. I get through those knowing that God has a plan for me. And if we lose a game, then he's got a new platform for me to respond and to honor him. And then if we win a game in like manner, I need to do the same thing. You know, it's amazing how much the Bible teaches. I have a morning devotional, and I continually am amazed by the teachings of course Jesus, but Paul and in all of his letters that pertain to me in my daily basis. I bought a lot of motivational books and a lot of self-help books and all of those things that all coaches do to make them better coaches and better people, but without question, the Bible is the best of them all, not only to define our Lord and Savior and to understand what it would take to receive the blessings of Christ, but also in your daily life. You know, the Bible tells us that we need to exercise ourselves spiritually and practice becoming good Christians, that it doesn't just happen by a zap of a decision, that we have to put into work what we read in his word and what he tells us within his Holy Spirit and what our other Christian brothers are sharing with us. So it's a great motivational opportunity that Christ gives us and puts in our heart.
We're talking to the head baseball coach at Sam Houston State, Mark Johnson. You know, Coach, you mentioned a great thing, the Bible. And, man, we don't have a shortage of Bibles in America. We do have a shortage of Bible reading. And I appreciate the fact that you've been in the Scriptures. And it says in Romans 10 that when we come to Jesus, we don't just come to him with him as our Savior, but he's our Lord also. We come to Christ as where he is Lord of our life. And part of that lordship, coaches, in following Jesus is understanding that things do not happen only on the outward appearance. It says in 1 Samuel 16:7, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And coach, there's a lot of things in baseball that you can't really tell that's going on beneath the surface. It's a great modern day parable. What do you try to teach your players regarding those things that are hidden, those things that are not just obvious in religiosity or superficiality, but stuff that really connects the heart?
There's a couple things, and a little bit in reference to your initial question prior to that one. I was just looking up when you asked the question in 2 Timothy, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. He expects us to be aggressive. He puts us out on the field. He gives us a competitive spirit. He's never taken the competitive spirit away from me. He's certainly measured it and set standards and boundaries on how I should respond and to be a good sport, but that competitive, I have to tell you, it still hurts when we lose. You know, it bothers me, and it's all part of it. But in truth, what I try to do and what I think my calling is to help the young people get a better grasp on their life skills that they're going to have, and certainly along that line to demonstrate and to influence for Christ, that they see that in my actions. I've always worked for state institutions, so I have to boundary my my comments, but certainly, as you've heard many times, the best testimony is the walking life of a Christian, and I try to exemplify that. But I do think we have, as coaches and everybody in athletics, and certainly the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, I've been a part of it for over 35 years, and what an influence and impact we have not only on our players, but the players in turn and the coaches in turn to those that observe the athletic event and how we respond. And but I think we have, as a coach, we have a platform of influence to share our story and to model and be good stewards of proper character, of high morals and uncompromising ethics and integrity and all of those things. But, you know, I think we have a great platform, and I kind of put my flag down and say this is what my calling is to build character and to do as we do in our sport, and you do too. The number of adversities that hit within a practice setting and within a game, as Paul talks about in Romans, the fifth chapter, we need to start rejoicing in those times because we have a chance to grow. And I think we all know that adversity just absolutely continues to reacquaint us with our strengths and weaknesses, and God is present to guide us through those things, and they're really rejoicing times if we can do it.
Well, Coach Johnson, thanks a lot. It was great to team up with you here, and God bless you and wish you well in the rest of the baseball season.
Thanks, Ron.
Our guest today has been Coach Mark Johnson, the head baseball coach at Sam Houston State, on Sharing the Victory. If these interviews inspire you every week, then why don't you let us inspire you every day with the Daily Impact Play devotional from FCA? We'll send it right to your inbox. You can sign up for free at our website, sharingthevictoryradio.com. When Sharing the Victory continues, you'll hear from FCA President Les Steckel with Coach's Corner. Thanks for listening today.
His goal?
To hit over 400.
Our goal? To eliminate life's errors.
Swing and a miss, strike two.
While he grips the bat, we grip his heart. With a firm hold on Christ.
A long drive, it's going to be a home run.
He can eliminate the errors. Join the Fellowship of Christian Athletes as we strive to put the heart and soul in sports by impacting the world for Jesus Christ. To learn more, contact us at FCA.org. That's FCA.org. Our special guest next weekend on Sharing the Victory is Pittsburgh Pirates pitcher Matt Capps.
You know, every kid that sees me pitch, I want them to ask questions. You know, what's this guy all about? What's he stand for?
Plus, you'll hear the story of a man who gave up a promising coaching career in college football to follow God's call to ministry overseas. So make sure to join us next weekend for Sharing the Victory.
Hi, Ron Brown, welcoming you back to Sharing the Victory. Up next is FCA President Les Steckel with Coach's Corner.
How many times have you heard a great quote and wished you'd said it? And how many times have you adopted that saying as something you quote often yourself to others? Sometimes you hear something that sounds so profound and so like you that it sounds like maybe you wrote it yourself. Recently, I heard one of those sayings that I find myself using often. It was that good. See if you agree. The saying goes like this. God's work, done in God's way, for God's glory, will never lack God's supply. Let me say that again. God's work, done in God's way, for God's glory, will never lack God's supply. In our present economic downturn, nearly everyone in every organization seems to be challenged with keeping their family and their businesses on financial stable ground. Our economy has certainly changed, but God's economy is timeless, and the truth is that God still owns everything. Psalm 24, verse 1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all its people belong to Him." With that understanding, then, you and I need to know what God's work and God's ways look like. I'm privileged by God to lead the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, the world's largest sports ministry. Our vision is to impact the world for Jesus Christ through the influence of athletes and coaches. But God's work is certainly not limited to certified ministries. You and I do God's work when we make Him known. You can make Him known through a ministry organization, but also in your own family, neighborhood, or business. God's working through us should be evident in our lives everywhere and at all times. Throughout Scripture, you'll find many seeking to discover the ways of God, and God's Word reveals to us in Psalm 25, verse 10, God's ways are described as loving. In Revelation chapter 15, verse 3, God's ways are true and just. If you and I model the Master, as I like to say, we'll do God's work according to His ways with love and truth and justice. As we do so, we'll bring Him the honor and glory He so richly deserves. Remember what our new saying promised us. If we would do God's work done in God's way for God's glory, that's right, we'd never lack God's supply. Going back to the Word of God, you'll probably recall that Philippians 4:19 promises God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. When our nation is gripped in a recession, it's an amazing comfort and assurance to know that despite today's newspaper headlines shouting out economic crisis, God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. On our U.S. dollar bill, it is printed, "In God We Trust." Let's do just that. This is Coach Les Steckel, president of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, reminding you that God's work, done in God's way, for God's glory, will never lack God's supply. My prayer is that you have a divine 2009.
Had a great time with you today, and I'm already thinking about next week, because we're going to have Matt Capps, pitcher for the Pittsburgh Pirates, with us. And you'll also hear the inspiring story of a man who gave up a promising coaching career in college football to follow God's call to ministry overseas. Remember, there are two ways of doing sports, God's way or man's way. Which will you choose? From all of us here at Sharing the Victory, have a great week in Christ.
Sharing the Victory and the Fellowship of Christian Athletes have many resources available to you to help you do sports God's way, including CDs, books, Bibles, and Bible study materials. The place to go is SharingTheVictoryRadio.com. Just click on FCA Gear. While you're at SharingTheVictoryRadio.com, you can listen to past programs or subscribe to receive the free podcasts. There's also a place for you to leave a question or comment about the program. The website, once again, is SharingTheVictoryRadio.com. If you wish to call, we'd love to hear from you. Our phone number is toll-free, 866-STV-5031. Again, 866-STV-5031. Thanks for joining us today for Sharing the Victory. And don't forget to join us next weekend. Sharing the Victory is a production of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, the heart and soul in sports.